We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we pray that you are off to a great start in your week. Today is Wednesday. That means it is Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God. We'll be going through our Fire Bible Discipleship and would love to invite you out to that. Like I say, you can jump in at any given point in time. You don't, you know, a lot of times you say, well, I missed it when it started. Well, that doesn't really prevent you from jumping in at this point in time. The lessons pretty much stand independently of one another. There are a few times where, like, there's a part one, a part two, a part three, part four. But for the most part, we just move from topic to topic to topic on Wednesday nights. And we would love to see you get anchored in God's word and through that abiding in him that you enter into a season of fruitfulness like you've never experienced before. So today we want to say thank you to the folks of Weirich Air. Their name is W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Weirich Air. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They are not a fly-by-night company. They have been around for over 40 years. And during that time, they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning issues, heating issues, and electrical fields as well. They work in residential settings, light commercial settings, and even provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. And I will say this, they're honest, they love Jesus, and they will be a major blessing in your life, bring you a great deal of peace of mind. So write this number down. The number is 321-632-9538. Don't forget the 321. Now you got to dial that, whether you're dialing local or long distance, 321-632-9538. Put it someplace where you won't forget it, where you won't lose it. So when you find yourself in need of their services, you can give them a call. That number again is 321-632-9538. Weirich Air, W-A-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air, Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So today we're going to return to the book of Hebrews. And I told you this is where we are going to be concluding our teaching our little mini series on lawlessness as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking specifically at what God the Father has said to the Son. And it is this in verse number 8. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And so, you know, I just want to go back and touch on this just a little bit. God's dominion is a kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not up for an election or anything like that. It is a kingdom, and the gospel of the kingdom is very central, and it is a core part of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I preached a message here a few weeks ago on God is the strength of Israel. He is the strength of the saints. He's your strength. He doesn't just strengthen you. He is your strength. And when we function with God as not only being the one who makes us strong, but is the God who is our strength, that when the enemy tries to tax our strength or sap our strength, that he may accomplish that through what physical means or intellectual means that we have, but when we are functioning with God as the strength of our life, the enemy is it's like trying to drain the ocean. That is just not going to work. You know, it is trying to measure something that is immeasurable, trying to exhaust a limitless supply. God never runs out of strength. And so that is great news for the kingdom of God. So we talked about that Jesus had loved righteousness, and that is followed up with another statement. It is joined by the word and. It's not one or the other. It is a both and reality. It's not just loving righteousness, but it is hating lawlessness. Jesus hated lawlessness. And because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still despises and disdains lawlessness. So we're going to look at that just a little bit. I was teaching one midweek service years ago. There was a little boy that was there. He was kneeling using a chair as a table. He was coloring, and I remember making the statement. I couldn't see him because he was down on the ground, and I was really teaching an adult Bible study. I wasn't really aiming it for four-year-olds, is what I think he was at the time. And I said, sometimes you just need to tell the devil to shut up, silence him. And his mother had trained him that the word shut up was something that you should not say. And he's like, Pastor Bob said a bad word. He said to shut up. You know, there are words that we may not want to use too many times in our normal conversation. I don't go around telling people to shut up. I have no problem telling the devil to shut up. Anytime his mouth is moving, he's lying, so I don't really need to hear what he has to say. Hate is one of those words that we find that is culturally toxic at times. So people use hate speech and as a term, and they hate this and they hate that, and so it's something that has such severe negative connotations that many times we may miss the meaning of the word. You know, where you might think of the word as something that I wish they would never exist. That's not what this word hate means here in Hebrews at all. The word hate here means to have to strongly dislike, to have an aversion to something that separates the person who hates and the thing hated. It is physical separation or cessation of actions, thought, or ideas. And so I want you to look at that just a minute, because it starts with lawlessness. I've got this written down here. Lawlessness is the antonym of righteousness. Lawlessness creates wrong standing before God, where righteousness creates right standing. Righteousness is something that is a gift from God to us, and because we value God and want to be in right relationship with Him, we want to not only accept his gift of righteousness, but also to live a righteous life. There are benefits for righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So righteousness sets us up for our needs being met. Righteousness sets us up. It opens the door for the blessings of God to come in like they've never entered into our life before. With the same mindset, lawlessness closes that door. Lawlessness strains a relationship where righteousness enhances a relationship. So these are not two things that you can have that exist in your life in varying degrees. They are two things that are contrary to one another, that are incompatible with one another. And so if you're going to love the one, you are going to hate the other. You are going to be drawn to one, and you are going to experience distance from the other. So if you choose to love lawlessness, then you are going to distance yourself from righteousness. And there's a price tag for that. There is a cost physically, intellectually, emotionally, financially, chronologically. There's a price tag that comes from embracing a life of lawlessness. And so it's not, this passage is not saying that Jesus just made a declaration, I hate lawlessness. That's not that. It is not, this is not a line for a speech. This is not filler for a article that you wrote. This is not something just to occupy an area of a page, you know, like you're reading a newspaper. It's not like they wrote the scroll of Hebrews and said, oh, we've got this little stretch here. What could we put here that would sound really trite and would be tweetable in 2023? This is the mindset, the inclination of Jesus, and it says, I hate lawlessness. And so let's go back and look at that definition from the lexicon again. To strongly dislike. There is a memory that I have from a child, from being a child, that after my grandfather died, they brought all of the canned goods that his wife had stored in the cupboard. She was Pennsylvania Dutch. They didn't let anything go to waste. And so they brought all of those foods down. One night they gathered at our house for a food sampling party. And let me tell you, they ate differently than what I ate. They didn't have McDonald's and stuff like that, you know, that was going on. And there was something, and I said, okay, I'll try it. I'll try it. And so I bit down into it, and I didn't like the taste. I didn't like the texture. There was nothing about that experience that I enjoyed. I did not get past the first chew. And then I was a source of entertainment to all of the adults in the room who knew what it was more than what I knew what it was. Because of that experience, I still feel as strongly negatively towards that food item as I did back then. I strongly dislike it. And so we don't buy anything at the grocery store that resembles that or is the same item from any other animal. There is something about that experience that caused me to hate it that said, I'm not denying its existence. It's just not going to be able to coexist in the same place, the same time as I am. It's not going to be on my plate. And so to strongly dislike or have an aversion to something that separates the person who hates and the thing hated. Now, here is where this multicultural spiritual confusion that is invading America has a serious problem with Christianity. Christianity says that the Word of God is true, and the God of the Word is true. The things that he says are therefore true. And because he says he is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, they have a problem with that. They want there to be many paths. And some of the paths that they choose involve things that the Bible clearly says that God hates those things. God does not like things that make you suffer pain. God does not want you experiencing your life. He doesn't want you miserable. He wants you to know the joy of him as your Lord. So God says in his word that things that are abhorrent to him, things that are an abomination to him, that he is going to put distance between. If you read the story, the account of the rich man who died at the same time that a poor man named Lazarus died, and they went to two different places. The poor man Lazarus ended up in Abraham's bosom, not because he was poor, not because his name was Lazarus, but because he walked in covenant with God, even in spite of his socioeconomic status. The rich man ended up in hell, not because he was rich, not because he had lots of possessions, but because his heart was not right with Jesus, and he found himself in a place of pain and suffering. He was highly motivated when he realized the future that he faced. And by the way, this is Jesus talking. He doesn't present it as a hypothetical. He doesn't present this as this could happen. He presents it as an actual occurrence. And the rich man says, would you send Lazarus just to bring a drop of water to cool my tongue? And Abraham's response is, you do not realize the great chasm that there is between us. Today, if you're listening to this program and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you might think that you are right on the edge. You might think that you are rubbing shoulders with Jesus. You know, Jesus is there. He died on the cross because that was the only way to bridge the chasm between God and the people that God created in his image to spend eternity with. Okay, God is not put the distance there because he hates the people. He hates the lawlessness. And because people choose lawlessness over righteousness, and it is a choice, that because they make that choice, and God puts the distance between himself and lawlessness, those people end up finding themselves very distant from God. So hate separates. It puts distance there. It's a physical separation. It also causes actions to cease. So people who choose lawlessness, who, like we've talked about, you know, who do not choose to retain the knowledge of God, not only do they sin, but they approve, condone, and endorse those who are rejecting God. That's pretty much where we are in our modern society. They want to think that, well, it's all going to end up in the same place. We're just all going to end up in the same place. We're all Americans. We're all living, breathing human beings. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach it. If you don't get it right the first go around, that, you know, you'll come back, you'll be reincarnated, and you'll get another go at it. Doesn't teach that at all. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so this, what we're talking about is, we cannot afford to embrace things that are going to separate us from the presence of God. God wants people walking in covenant relationship with him who have the same mindset, the same attitude, the same inclination towards lawlessness that he does, and that is, we don't want to have anything to do with lawlessness. Did you know that rebellion will hinder your prayer life? Lawlessness will hinder your prayer life. Lawlessness will deceive people. God says in the Old Testament, he's correcting his covenant people, and he said, you thought I was altogether like you. But his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. So my thing is, if Jesus hates lawlessness, you and I should hate lawlessness as well. We should not want to get as close to it as we can. We should put as much distance between us and lawlessness as we possibly can. So I remember a story about a guy who was interviewing chauffeurs. They lived in a mountainous region. The road down the mountain had, you know, the possibility to be a treacherous journey. And so the guy was interviewing people, and the first person he interviewed said, how close to the edge of the road could you get and still keep my family safe? And the first guy said, I could get within a tire's width, about a foot away from the edge of the road. I could be within a foot of the edge, and I could still keep your family safe. The guy said, thank you very much. The next guy comes in and says, how close to the edge of the cliff could you get and still keep my family safe? He said, sir, I'm an excellent driver. I could get to where the edge of the tire is touching the edge of the cliff, and I could still keep your family safe. Third driver comes in, and he said, how about you? How close to the edge of the cliff could you get? And he said, sir, I am the best driver in these parts. I am familiar with these roads. I could be driving down the mountain, and I could have half of the tire hanging over the edge of the cliff. I could still maintain the vehicle, could still navigate the roadway, and your family would still be kept safe. He said, thank you very much. Fourth guy comes in, asks him the same question. He said, "Sir, I would value your family so much that I would not dare to put their lives at jeopardy because of my ego. I would stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as I could to keep your family safe." Which one of those guys do you want to hire? I tell you, I'm not looking to be full of myself. I want to be full of Jesus. And I want to be operating in life, but I also want to be operating in holiness. I want to be operating in righteousness. I want to have a mindset towards lawlessness that says, I want to separate myself from that for my sake. I want to separate myself from lawlessness for my wife's sake. I want to separate myself from lawlessness for the listeners of the radio program, for the saints at Merit Assembly of God, for my children, for my grandchildren. I want to separate myself from lawlessness because there are people in this community that don't need to see Christians playing footsies with the devil. They need to see Christians who are in love with Jesus and know that Jesus wants to forgive the lawless of their lawlessness. And so I want to be a walking billboard, a walking witness, a testimony to the goodness of God, and say, you know what? Lawlessness is not the best this world has to offer. Lawlessness is the worst. I want the best that God has. So there may be some actions that you've got going on in your life that you need to stop in order to have the same attitude that Jesus has towards lawlessness. There may be some thoughts that you think about, that you entertain, and say, you know what, I'm going to put an end to thinking about those things because I'm going to think on the things that God wants me to think about. There may be ideas that this world is offering, and you have embraced those things. I tell you, I think that God, when he says for us to love righteousness, that he's setting us up for a life of blessing. I've got just a couple of more things to say, but the clock is getting ready to expire on me, and I'm getting ready to turn into a pumpkin here today. So that's bad joke. Never mind. Move on. So we'll touch base with that tomorrow. God bless you. You have a phenomenal day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.